Great to have all these alumni back.
We also want to welcome Jake Mattis back to Yeshiva. Jake Mattis is the second person in Yeshiva history to pull off a Corey Gold, which is nice. While Corey Gold was here, you pulled off a Corey Gold. Okay, very good. I picked the topic. Oh, there he is. Okay. Corey might have to call it now, pull off a Jake Mattis at this point. Okay. So I did do this topic once before. I don't remember which year it was. Sorry, there might be more downstairs. Okay, but even if you heard it from me, I did add a whole approach. So it'll be something new even if you remember it. Okay, this is a very important topic, the topic of the source of rabbinic authority. Now, so people are not confused, I do give an issues in Jewish thought here about this, but in that context, it's more philosophical. Like, what's the philosophical basis for rabbinic authority? Today is a little bit more halakhic. Obviously, the halakhic and the philosophical go together to some degree, but it won't be exactly the same conversation. Okay, so let's start with just the famous Rambam that's really worthy of knowing about. Okay, the Rambam, being the great thinker that he was, so beyond the Mishnah Torah and Mordechai, which is certainly enough work for most of us for a lifetime, he was not, you know, idle in his spare time. Okay, one can say the Rambam probably did not so much time spend time watching ESPN highlights tonight, probably not that much. Okay, so the Rambam has a book called Sefer HaMitzvot, okay, which is a whole genre. What's the genre? Well, we know that the Gemara says there are 613 mitzvot, but the Gemara never says what they are. So it became like this interesting, like, mathematical puzzle. What do we show them try to do? I'll make a list and come up to 613. I'll count 248 positive commitments and 365 negative ones, and I'll get to 613. So the Rambam was a prominent figure who did that. Okay, well, of course, this led to very interesting debates. Okay, what did the Rambam famously not list in the 613? Yeah, living in the land of Israel. Okay, to the great consternation of all the flaming B'nai Akiva guys in the room. Okay, but Jacob Trani, what do you say? Okay. Okay, all those nights in Moshe Vah where they whisper into the microphone, make Aliyah. Okay. So the Rambam, not only does he have a list of 613 mitzvot, he has a rule book, right? The Rambam's a very organized thinker. He has what's called 14 shrashim, his roots of what should count as a mitzvah, what shouldn't count. It's classic Rambam. I'm not going to give you a list, I'll give you like a theory of what should be on the list, what shouldn't be on the list. Okay, so let's look at his first shorash. Here it is. What's the first thing on the list of what should be a mitzvah, what should not be a mitzvah? Hashorash Rishon, She'ein ro'oi limnot b'chlal azeh ha-mitzvot she'ein mid-rabbanan. Limnot? Kalak, Gur Minyan. Says the Rambam very simply. We're looking for 613 biblical mitzvot. So there's no excuse for counting rabbinic mitzvot. So if your list of 613 has Chanukah and Purim and Netil Yadayim and the like, you're off. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. Da kizen yan ha-loi ro'oi lo'or l'varo. Ki'akishu l'ashon ha-talmit she'ein sh'ein r'shosh mitzvot nitz. Nemru lo l'moshe b'sinai. Says the Rambam, it's obvious. What is the Gemara's formulation? Not just that we have 613 mitzvot, but we have 613 mitzvot that are rooted in Sinai. So clearly that knocks out the Rabbans. Eich nomar b'davar shum d'rabbanan shum chal minyan. Obviously, rabbinic things are not part of the count. Aval hiruni olav. Why do I feel need to say something? V'nei sheto bo rabim. Umanu ner chanaka u'mikragila b'chal mitzvot asei. Says the Rambam, what can I do? I have predecessors who seem to blow it. When my predecessors made lists, what'd they do? They counted these things, right? They counted Ner Chanukah, they counted Mikra Megillah, V'chein Me'a Brachot B'chol Yom, right? The idea about saying 100 Brachot every day. These are all rabbinic ideas. Okay, so the Rambam is pretty straightforward. We shouldn't count the Rabbanans. Okay, fine. That's an issue of counting. Okay, but let's skip to the second paragraph. Okay, by the way, Sam Jaron, I'll give you another educational tool. I realized today, guys, that today's source sheet might have looked a little intimidating because there's a lot of sources. So there are a couple of ways to make it, and I didn't really do this, so I should have. There are a couple of ways to make source sheets less intimidating. Okay, I'll give you a couple of methods right now. Okay, one way is to have an English source in there somewhere. Rev Dov used to accuse me of always putting English source just so that the source sheet would look less intimidating. Okay, but I did not do that today, but that is one method. Okay, another method is to take a longer source and just arbitrarily break it up into two, so it looks like it's two different sources. Okay, so that's also a good method. So Sam, get it all down, okay? Okay, so now let's go to the second paragraph. Okay? I figure you guys are, you know, intimidated easily, not scared so easily. Okay. Now, what led them to this mistake? Okay, So what led them to this mistake? Why would anyone count the Rabbanan as a Doraita? So what led them to it? What do you want to say? Because what's our practice? We make brachot on all mitzvot. Rabbanan. And there's a famous Gemara, you guys should all know it, from earlier this year. Okay, what's the Gemara challenge? Where's the Gemara challenge that, regard to which mitzvah? How could you make brachot on the Rabbanan? How could you say the words, Asher kitshanu mitzvotah b'tzivanu, if it's from the rabbis and not from Hashem? Okay, where's the Gemara raise that question? About? Near Hanukkah. So those of you who like placement questions, okay, this is just a machshava question out for us right now. Why did Chazal choose to ask that question about Ner Chanukah? They could just as easily ask it about Purim or something else, right? So if you think that matters, right, if you're like a Rav Huttner or the Pnei Yeshua, you think those questions matter, think about that. Why did they ask it about Chanukah? But in any case, what does the Gemara say? Hey, let's keep reading. V'shelat ha'tzamot heichan tzivanu, how can we say Asher kishan mitzvah tzivanu? V'amu milo tasur. So what's the Gemara's answer? Why can you say God commanded you if the Rabbanan initiated the idea? Well, it's not that the Torah tells you to keep Ner Chanukah, but the Torah tells you to listen to the rabbis. So, of course, the Pesukim about rabbinic authority are famously in Parshat Shoftim, where it says, if you've got a question, right, Ben Dam Ladam, Ben Din Ladin, Ben Negel Lenega, you're not sure about how to apply Halachot of Blood, Halachot of Negaim, it goes, you go to the Beit HaMikdash, Ubatil HaKonim HaLevim Vel HaShofet HaShiyav Yemim Mehem. By the way, a lot of Pesukim, the Kohen seems to be like a Torah teacher, not just like a ritual functionary, but not for us right now. Okay, but the Rash to the Gilchat Dvar Mishpat, and then there's a mitzvah asay and a lot asay. What's the asay? Asit al pi adavar shi yagidulcha. You should do what he instructs, and then it says lo tasur min adavar shi yagidulcha yamin usmol. Don't depart from what he says, the right or left. So it could be there's a positive commandment vasita al pi adavar shi yagidulcha and a negative lo tasur min adavar. So what does the Gemara essentially argue? So you could say asher kitshanu mitzvah v'tzivanu because Hashem told you to listen to the rabbis. Okay, we're good so far? So now, says the Ram, okay, but that's still not a reason to count them separately. Okay, why is this not a reason to count them separately? Because essentially, which mitzvah am I fulfilling when I light Chanukah candles? Lot Azur. Which mitzvah am I fulfilling when I read the Megillah on Purim? Lot Azur. Which mitzvah am I fulfilling when I wash Netil Yadayim? Lot Azur. So there's no reason to count them as individual biblical mitzvot. There is one biblical mitzvah. You have a good summer? So let's just sum up the Rambam. We're going to see guys, there's going to be a famous Machlokas Rambam Ramban. Each position is going to have a major difficulty. Get to start with one side. What's the Rambam told me? I'm giving the rule books what to count. Don't count mitzvot to Rabbanan. Okay? Rabbinic mitzvot are not counted on the biblical list. What misled earlier authorities to count rabbinical mitzvot? The fact that we say Aksher Kitchana, which seems to grant them the right to status. Says the Rambam, it's true. You are fulfilling a deraita when you do a Rabbanan. But not the specific Rabbanan. The right you're fulfilling is Lot Asur. Okay, I'm going to raise one question before we get to Gabe, Jared, and Jacob. Okay, here's the one question. Okay, which is as follows. Wait, according to Rambam, it sounds like every Rabbanan really has the status of a Deraita. What do we know about the halachic system? There are 4,000 differences between how we treat the Rabbanans, how we treat the Deraitas. We are much more lenient about the Rabbanans Deraitas. Of course, most famously, Safik Deraita L'Chamra, Safik Deraita L'Kula. But what has the Rambam done in a certain sense? He's undermined the distinction between Derabanan and Deraita. Okay, so here's one famous question on Rambam. If we say every Derabanan is rooted in Deraita, is really a fulfillment of Lot Asur, why are there so many distinctions between Derabanans and Deraitas? Okay, Gabe Roth. Oh, what a question. Gabe, you ever learned this before?
No.
Okay, very good. Now you see why Gabe Roth is a legendary figure in the yeshiva. Okay, everybody go to the last source, page 6. You'll understand the question after you see this point. Guys, this is the greatest Yerushalmi ever. You guys ready for the greatest Yerushalmi ever? Sorry, unless you're a flaming Zionist, then it's the second greatest Yerushalmi ever after Kim HaKim. Gavin, go to Meshech Chachma. I only said that for a double. Okay, let's go. Look at the last 6 lines. Okay, last 6 lines. Jacob Matron, did you get the reference?
Kind of.
Okay, we're going to take that as no. Okay. Okay. Look at the last 6 or 7 lines of the Meshech Chachma. You see, we quote to you Shalmi and Sukkah. This is just unbelievable. Okay, Gabe, you're going to love this. Zeh peirush hayu Shalmi Sukkah Okay, the Yom Rishon, we're talking about the Dalav Minim. Yom Rishon Mevarech Al Netilo Lulav. Vishar Yomi Mevarech. Isn't that amazing? Okay, guys, our lulav taking, our dal minim. What mitzvah are we filling when we take arba minim? So on the first day of Sukkot, we're fulfilling a mitzvah deraita. Lukachtem lachem b'yom harishon. What mitzvah outside the Beit HaMikdash? What mitzvah are we fulfilling the rest of the 7 days? Mitzvah derabanan, right? It's really only a mitzvah 7 days in the Mikdash. When you have Beit HaMikdash, it's 1 day outside the Mikdash, 7 days in the Mikdash, and then post Churban, we do it 7 days everywhere because of Zechel Mikdash. But what emerges? It's a mitzvah to write on the first day, mitzvah to write on the next six days. Now, of course, this is not our practice. What bracha do we make all 7 days? Asher kitshom savit zivado, anat yula. What did Yushalmi suggest we should do? Amazing Yushalmi. The first day we should make the bracha, anat yula. What bracha should we make the next 6 days? Yeah, because what mitzvah are we fulfilling in its essence? Not lulav per se, but listening to rabbinic authority. That's the real mitzvah we're doing. So maybe we shouldn't formulate it as Al Tiyulav. We should say, L'shmoa divrei zkinim. Right, so Gabe, it's a great point. So there is a Yushalmi like that. Like, it didn't win the day, but Yushalmi did think of that. Like, maybe that should be the bracha on Mikra Megillah and Atil Yadayim and Atil Lulav. Very good point. Jared?
I'm curious what it means to fulfill a Lutasi Doraita, and also, why do we attach the rabbinic authority to the negative part of the Pasuk instead of the positive?
I mean, why do we say Lutasi as opposed to Vasita?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure what the answer is. I have to think about it. It's an interesting question. Jacob Glassman, what do you want to say?
I was wondering if there's any mitzvah in the Torah or like any incentive for those kinim or rabbis to legislate aside from enacting Tekanah with Zera.
Wait, is there any other pasuk that makes a directive?
Yeah, there's a mitzvah for them to legislate.
Well, there is about the Shvatim Tzedek, right? I'm not saying it's for legislation necessarily, but certainly there are a lot of mitzvahs that are being a good judge. Being an honest judge, is that?
And I was also wondering, we often make brachot the specific time we do the mitzvah, but there's no specific reference except for like Shechianu, but there's no specific reference to the time. Usually, it's just a statement of the fact that we aren't commanded.
Okay.
So why isn't there a reference to the time?
What should we say? What would make more sense?
I don't know, like this manazda or something like that. Because when we differentiate between saying the brachot on the first day of Sukkot and asking to write that under a bond. Like, you still technically are commanded. I'm just curious why there's no reference to time.
I'm just not sure what the reference is. Why is the reference to time add so much? I'm not sure what's missing.
You always are commanded.
Yeah, but there's a difference between being commanded in theory and actually doing it. Okay? Andrew Arking.
Could you argue, based on the Rambam's interpretation, that
Yes, because
it's not saying the
very good. It's such a good argument. The Ramban's about to say that. Excellent. Andrew Arking, way to go. Okay, guys, there's good news. The mayor of Renan is finally going back to Renan of the Shabbos after a long hiatus. Okay, we thought he was actually moving on to run as the mayor of Tzfat. Okay, it's like he's moving up towards the prime minister slot, but apparently he's just settled for Renan. Okay, so the Ramban, of course, has a famous critic, right? The Ramban. And not just the Ramban, obviously Ramban had great respect for the Ramban, but they also fundamentally disagreed about philosophic issues and halachic issues. So the Ramban wrote a critique of the Sefer HaMitzvot as well. And in fact, there we go. What's one of the things the Ramban does? Ramban, you left out certain mitzvot, such as?
Yishev Haaretz,
exactly. But the Ramban also disagrees with the Shrashim. Some very fascinating back and forth about the rules of what should be a mitzvah. So let's see the Ramban here in Source 2. He's very surprising. Who's that Zal Sabor? Sheyesh Bechla Lab de Lo Sasser. What's included in this Lo Sasser prohibition? Every rabbinic enactment. Amazing. Quite the Rambam, that's all Lo Sasser. Could be according to Rambam, if you avoid chicken and milk, what are you fulfilling? The mitzvah deraita. Lo Sasser and Vasita. There you go. Vishniot Larayot, Benchin Bakumase, Kon Shosh Tfil Bakoyom, Mimea Brachot, the Lulav Shiva Shibagvulin, Ubenchin Belotase. It's all the right stuff. What a world. Okay, next paragraph. Now, this, I once said this rule, which I've never been able to teach how to do it, but it's a good rule anyway. What do you suspect if a writer, a rabbinic writer, is more poetic than he needs to be? What might be happening? If it's like a very flowery phrase, what might be happening? What? No, not sarcasm. Yes. Maybe he's quoting an earlier source. Right? Let's say I'm talking about. Let's say we're in a right to mode, guys, and we're all having existential crises, except for one guy. Okay, that one poor guy feels left out. He's the one guy who's even out of an existential crisis. Okay, so what? It's Harry. Harry, good guy. Okay, you vote Harry's most secure guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't look like you're having an existential crisis over there. You're pretty calm.
No, I'm good, yeah.
Okay, but let's say you're trying to convey your existential crisis. You don't get up and say, I'm an existential crisis. You get up and say, to be or not to be, that is the question. Like, why do you say it that way? Because you're trying to play off some resonant phrase that's part of your culture, right? So if a rabbinic writer is particularly poetic, they're probably quoting Sefer Yeshayahu, right? Something like that is going on. So that's what I'd say. When that happens to you, like, break out your concordance and see which pasuk they're referencing. Okay, so you have that. I've never been able to teach how to do that because I always Max Elfin. Max, see, life is not always about the quantifiable. You can't quantify everything in life. Like, how do you quantify what's an extra poetic phrase? Okay, you can't measure that in the laboratory. Okay, so here we go. Second source. What's the Rambam trying to do? Build a big wall. What does Rambam do, essentially? He gives rabbis a lot of power. Every rabbinic enactment is actually Taraita. Avil hika peretz no fail, but what's really true about it? It's a breach that's gonna fall. What do you guys say? Is that a little more poetic than you'd expect? Yeah, so why don't you check it out? See if chomag voha and peretz no fail are psukim, okay? Everyone can check my concordance afterward. Okay? Bechoma niskava shepitam lefeta yevoshivra, lefi shi svara nifsedit romakomo petamud. What's true about this great wall? Great, the great wall of halacha, it's not gonna work. Bera'ui lefi hadara zu lachmir ma'od bedivri sofrim. Shekulam Torah. What should we do if this is true? We should be very machmir about dinim. Drabanan, what do we see throughout our halachic system? We're not so machmir. One more line just to show you that Andrew Arkin is absolutely right. Vein b'torah davar chamor yoter min ha'shvitz l'ra'em el b'mechuvei kritur omitur beitin lo b'chai v'lavin shekol divrayim lav v'asein. He makes a great point. Andrew Arkin, there's your point. If this would be true, Drabanan would be very high up in this stringency factor. What would be the only thing more stringent than a Drabanan? According to this Rambam, something that has a meter or karet. That would be more stringent. What if you just have a lav? It's a lav and no meter or karet. Why would a rabbanan be more stringent than you? Let's say we're comparing eating unshechted meat with violating a... Oh, this is amazing. You could say that chicken and milk is worse than unshechted meat. Why is that? If you violate non-slaughtered meat, what are you violating? One lav. If you eat chicken and milk, what are you doing? A lav and an asay. There's your point, Andrew. So according to the Rambam, it's too good. The rabbanim have become too strong. Our halakhic system does not seem to reflect that. Okay, who had a hand up and saw some hand for? We're good? David, you good? Okay, great. So now let's just go through. I'll do it outside just to save a little time. What's the best example of this, of course? Drabanan versus Taraita? Safek, as you said. We always say Safek Taraita l'chumra. Safek Taraita l'chula. Why would that be if every Drabanan is a Taraita? But it's not just that. We have all kinds of leniencies. For example, what if there's a clash between values? So he says, we're asking what they are. What if you have bitul kli mehechan over sar balechayim? What do we say in a clash? One's derabanan and one's deraita. Who wins? Deraita. What about other leniencies? Right? There's a Gemara in Pesachim, maybe we'll learn it later this year, that says you could believe a katan when it comes to bedikah chametz. If a katan says in research, that's good enough. Usually a katan does not have believability, does not have nemanot. Why do we believe a katan about bedikat chametz? Because it's the Rabbanan. So again and again, the halachic system, we keep saying, oh, deraita, stringent, no flexibility. The Rabbanan, there's a lot of give, right? I'll give you one last example. Izzy, this is for you. Ready, Izzy? For the animal lovers in the room. Okay, you know, cows need to be milked. It's not healthy for them if they're not milked. They need to be milked even on Shabbos. But milking a cow is a malacha. Okay, so what was the method throughout medieval Europe? How did Jews milk cows on Shabbos, if you were a Jewish dairy farmer? You'd ask a non-Jew to do it. Very good, John Seidel. Wait, you could ask a non-Jew to do it, but don't we know that Amir L'Nachri is also Aser D'Rabbanan? You're not supposed to ask non-Jews to do melacha for you. But what do we say? Once you reduce it to a D'Rabbanan, Tzar Balei Chaim can overcome it. Tzar Balei Chaim couldn't overcome Yisur D'Raita if you would do it. But Tzar Balei Chaim can overcome the Easter Drabanan when you ask an Andrew to do it. So again and again, throughout the halachic system, the writers have given more weight, more stringency than the Rabbanans. All that does not make sense according to the Rambam. Yes, Jonas Sobel.
Why would he say that he distinguished between the why don't we just call them all brachot? Like,
okay, and isn't that the same question on a certain level?
Yeah, but you don't.
Right, isn't that what the Rambam's saying? Our whole system is based on the fact that the Raitas and the Rabbanans are different. And you Rambam have obliterated the difference. Okay? Guys, we have to call Ramaz now. This is a great year calling. We've had good comments from three generations of Ramaz students. Gabe Roth, very exciting, right? A little Manhattan pride. Okay, yeah. All right, Bordeaux.
Why can't you say that within Rambam's opinion that he's taking account for the fact that Rabbanan are on the same level than Doraita? Like, you can say that not every Doraita is on the same level. Not wearing tzitzit is a lot less strict.
Oh, that's clever. That's pretty clever. Just, that gets what I was saying. I was thinking maybe even different Doraitas could somehow be different.
It's not automatic. Yeah, it's not automatic.
Okay, well, you might ask them, like, what's the source of that? Meaning,
of what?
How do you know that these Doraitas, as it were, are less stringent than other Doraitas? How do you know the Rabbanan Doraitas are less stringent than the Doraita Doraitas?
Well, couldn't we say that that's part of his, that's how he makes up for, how he adds.
Okay, so do you tell me if this is what you're thinking? Okay, everyone go now to, where is it? The last line, Ulai Titakesh. Okay, he raises a famous way to try to save Rambam, but he doesn't like it. Okay, everyone see Ulai Titakesh, the last line? Ulai Titakesh, if you tell me that, Rav, maybe you'll say for the Rambam, Kimash Amu over to page 2. B'kol makom l'hakel b'devei sofrim, hu b'mechkila uvitnai me'itam. What do you want to claim? Maybe the rabbis were clever. They made a built-in condition. Every time the rabbis make an act, what they say? Wash it until you're dying, bud. If it's a suffake, you don't have to. Maybe they built in a clause. Right? It's like a built-in rabbinic clause. Oh, we want to make all these innovations. But we have built-in clauses to provide for leniency.
It's like
Eruv. Right? I'm sorry?
It's like Eruv.
It's like Eruv.
The Eruv is that character, that it's a Rabbanan, Rishu, Rabbin.
Okay, but what do you mean by the Tanai, though?
As in that they make the stringency in terms of not carrying that Rishu, Rabbin, which is a Doraita, and then they give a
I see, very good. Correct. I didn't understand the analogy. Okay, so the rabbis came along and said, we don't want you to eat chicken and milk, but what they also say? But if that conflicts with other values that are deraita, then the deraita is more significant. Or if a suffix comes up, then you don't have to keep it. So notice what this would do. If this shot would be right, every divine would indeed have the right to status. And yet you could maintain all these leniencies, because all those leniencies were built in conditions to the takanot. You understand the approach here? So the Ramban doesn't like that, but he's saying this might be a way someone could try to salvage Rambam. Rambam would indeed keep maintaining that all the Rabbans are deraitas, but there are built-in clauses to keep all these leniencies going. Yeah, everyone good so far? Yeah, Jacob.
Can you just again re-explain how the Ramban sees Rambam saying that the Rabbanans are more strict than the Doraitas?
Yeah, because according to Rambam, every Rabbanan is a fulfillment of Lo Tasor and Yasita, a Lo Tase and an Ase. That means every Lo Tase, which just is a Lo... What?
What's the Yasita?
So the same section says a positive command. Do what they instruct. Asita via the Rashi Yerucha. So if you have, as Andrew Arkin says very well, a lotase and an ase is stronger than just a plain lotase.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay?
It seems like they're almost the same thing, the ase and
No, it's not that the ase might command something different than the lav. But when you have both, okay, it's stronger. Just to give you an example, guys, there is a rule called Ase doche lo tase. You guys all heard that rule?
Yeah.
Okay, but there's also a rule called Ein ase doche lo tase vase. So that shows you that whether it commands something new, Jacob, it gives more halachic weight. Okay? Max Gobler. Ramaz is dominant here. Okay.
There's no difference between within different Rabbanan levels, though. Like the same way how Malacha, we would say, is everyone agrees with, like, actually Doraita, even though.
We'll get there in a minute. Okay, hang in there. Okay, last back. Now, if the Ramban doesn't like Rambam, he has to get an alternative, right? Let us see the Ramban's alternative, and then we'll see that his alternative also creates a problem. We're going to have a famous conundrum. Okay, here we go, guys. Last bag up for Ramban. Avalad Davar HaBorur. What is the clear thing? Ha Minukem Mikol Shibush. Oh, good words. What's Minukem Mikol Shibush? It is clean from every. What's a Shibush, guys? Wait, my shir should know this. My morning shir. Remember it said? Is that you think that Brisa is mitaretzta? It's mishabeshta. Yeah, it's a mistake. Good. What is the way to be clean from all mistakes? Who shenodia she'ein halav as a lotaser ella? When does lotaser apply? B'ma she'amru b'feirushei ha'Torah. When they are? Pefirush Torah. What are the rabbis doing? They're explaining the Torah. Kagon Advarma Dirushim B'Torah B'Gzeira Shobin Yinav. That's when it's Lotasar. Skip to the last two lines. Avalat Takanot V'Gzeirot Shegazru Chachamim L'Mishmer HaTorah L'Gedar Shalah Ein Lahem B'Lav Hazeh. What does he want to claim? If the rabbis say, don't move Muktzah, is that the Rabbanon or the Raita? That the Rabbanon is not the Raita in any shape or form. What is the Torah talking about when it says, don't depart from the rabbis? Well, the rabbis have two hats. They have two t-shirts. Like Gabe Shore. Right? Gabe, guys, one of the things you see, I always say University of Michigan gives out more paraphernalia than everybody else. Even people who have never set foot in Detroit, they're always wearing Michigan paraphernalia. It's really amazing. Josh Kornblum, I don't know how you guys do it. Okay, I used to think it was because people like the blue and white color, but his is not even blue and white. How come yours is not blue and white? Blue and yellow, sorry.
It is.
Nah, it's amazing blue. That's very little blue there. It's looking kind of great. Yeah, but even more exciting, Gabe Shore still being paid by Polo to endorse their shirts. Okay, that's very exciting. Okay, it is good to know. Okay, there's some things that are steady in this world, Gabe Shore. It is good to know. Okay, so is Donnie Kaplan here? Okay, guys, Gabe was very excited at Donnie Kaplan's brother's wedding. Okay, there was so much of Woodmere there, like you felt like you were in Woodmere. Afterwards, Gabe was looking for Central Avenue. He wanted to go out to eat after it. Okay. Okay, so here we Okay, here we go. So now, what did the Ramban tell me? The rabbis had different shirts. One shirt is they are the interpreters of Torah, and one shirt is when they are the innovators of rabbinic law. But they're both rabbinic, but one is interpreters of Torah. What would be an example? The Torah says don't do work. What do the rabbis have to do on Shabbos? What do the rabbis have to do? Determine what they think work is. But when they do that determination, let's say they use a Gzeirah Shavah, let's say use a Binyan Av, what's the status of that halakha? That is the Raita. So when they're wearing their interpreter hat, they're interpreting the Raita and giving us the parameters of the Raita. But when they wear their rabbinic innovator hat, then what are they creating? Drabbanan, right? Muktzah is not an interpretation. It's an innovation. So says the Ramban, I've given you a great shot. Does Ramban have the difficulty with Rambam? Is that difficult for Ramban? Not at all. Why are there differences for Raita and Drabbanan for Ramban? Because innovative Drabbanans are simply not Doraita. And we got it for Rambam. It seemed like all the Rabbanans are Doraita. So then the question was, why is Halakha different? Give me 2 more seconds, guys. Now, who can tell me? Now we get to the famous conundrum, guys. You all can go talk to your local Talmud Chacham about this. What is the difference? Ramban is a huge advantage over Rambam. What's the disadvantage for Ramban? What is not clear according to Ramban? Mikey Pollack. Okay, good. And I go even further.
What about like a new thing that's supported by Pasuk?
That's interesting. Something else?
Why do we follow the rabbis?
Yes! According to Ramban, why do you have to follow the rabbis? Right? If you start with Torah as your source of commands and values, it's okay. According to Rambam, the Torah tells you, you have to follow rabbinic law. And then the problem according to Rambam is, why isn't every Rabban a Doraita? The Ramban might have given us the opposite problem. According to Ramban, of course there are differences. The Torah never told you to follow rabbinic innovations. It just told you to follow rabbinic interpretations. But then, what is the status of the authority of Rabbanan to make innovation. So now you kind of are caught either way. For Rambam, there's no difference between Rabban and Doraita. And for Ramban, it's not clear what the authority of rabbinic law is based on. Yeah?
They accept Torah Lo Hashemayim as a premise for making all of them.
Who's they?
Rambam or Rambam, meaning that Torah is the mitzvah that the Rabbi make or not.
Well, there's no...
That they are mitzvah.
No, but again, but I think if Ramban would say that's about interpreting the Torah, right? But that's a separate question from making an innovation, right? Correct? All right, JJ.
It seems like we're at a stalemate because any time one of these rabbis is going to try to find a Doraita source.
Excellent point.
For like following rabbinic interpretations, automatically just going to turn into a Doraita.
Oh, you got it. That's great, JJ, right? We have a great mathematical conundrum or logical conundrum here. Like, you're kind of caught either way on the horns of dilemma. You're stuck between Scylla and Charybdis here. It's all over. Okay, right, that was overly poetic, right? So obviously I'm referring to something. Okay, right, you're stuck here, you're right. If you find the source, it becomes the right. If you don't find the source, what's the source? It's a great point, JJ. We're going to try to get out of that somehow. Yeah. We're just going to sail through somehow. Yeah.
Someone asked a question about what is the distinction according to the Rambam between the Alse and the Lotase, although it's elsewhere.
Yeah, somebody asked that already. Jacob Tron asked that. So it's not crucialist right now. It could be. It doesn't add anything. It just adds force. It adds weight.
So
It could be it doesn't add, like, you have to do something different.
A possible suggestion, right, that could be maybe the nuance that the Ramban gives us about innovating versus interpretation can be derived from the Asay and the Lotasay.
I mean, one is covered by the Asay, one is covered by the Lotasay. But, okay, but don't you still have the problem that even if it's only covered by one of the two, you've made every Durban a Duraita? Don't you still have that problem?
Well, no, because one's an Asay, one's a Lotasay, and interpretation is not going to be, if that's a Lotasay, it's going to be not as strong as when they're innovating in the interpretation as the Asay.
Okay, interesting. Interesting, Izzy. Yes, Andrew.
I think there's support to what Izzy's saying, because the Pasuk itself, that when it says the Asay part, it's Al-Piyash Barash Yorucha, and then for the Lotasay,
Yafe. You see, the Lotasay has a more expansive formulation.
Yeah, from like Devarim versus the Asay's from.
That's very good. Andrew, put that in your parish. Very good. Okay, guys. So we're now going to see a couple of. Yeah, Michael.
My question is really on the basis of this whole process being interpreted this way, because the Golden Context is really talking about going to the Kohanim, Lobim, and the Shoftim. So, like, how do we derive that it's really the rabbis that we have to listen to?
Well, I admit Cohen and Levi is a little bit different, but Shofet is kind of a scholar, right? You're Shofet heads in the rabbinic direction?
A bit. Not completely. I don't see it as bad as Pasuk, like that kind of roundabout interpretation, seeing as like.
Okay, so the truth is, it's a good question, but I think I'm. What?
We're educators also. No?
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned that there are a couple of. I don't know what. Somebody beside. Anyone can answer the question except Andrew Arkin. Okay, where else in Chumash is the Cohen an educator? Where else in Chumash is the Kohen an educator besides what we just saw? The Kohen impacts, but does that prove he's an educator?
Yeah.
Okay, John Katzman.
Doesn't it say that the Kohen has shifts? Like he works in the Bidding Mikdash for Chumash time and other things?
Yeah, but where does it say that he teaches Torah? Okay, I'll give you a little hint, guys. Where does it say that Shevet Levi teaches Torah? Okay, no, you're too midrashic, Jonas Sobel. Wait, you went to Ramaz, what do you know midrashim? Okay, what's going on? Now you guys dominate your call, you know midrashim now. What's going on in Ramaz? Gabe Roth, what's going on? Okay, where is it? Somewhere, shave it, lady, guys. Just think logically. All right, Andrew Arking.
I was thinking of the part in Shoftim where the Kohen is the one that,
Well, we're in Chumash. Okay, you guys are nothing. Just even if you don't know, you should be able to figure out the answer. Where in Chumash do you have comments on the Shvatim?
It's
the two basic possibilities, right? Either the bracha that Yaakov gives all the Shvatim, or the bracha that Moshe gives them. Okay, now where is it?
Moshe.
Yeah, what does it say in Bezot HaBracha? Wait, where's Joe Schnitzer? Is he here? Joe, don't you lean Bezot HaBracha every year? What? Okay, go ahead, keep going, guys.
Something.
Yeah. Oh, is that David Lipschitz? It sounds like him. Oh, David Zwick, sorry. Oh, guys, the Greek freak comes through. Excellent. Yes, Yoru. What's Yoru Mishpatecha Yaakov Torah Chal Yisrael? What's Yoru there? Notice to say, right? To teach? Right, so there, Shevet Levi in general is presented as those that teach Torah. So I think, Michael, there are some sources that Shevet Levi and the Kohanim are Torah educators in Chumash, and therefore, I think this, it's not such a stretch to apply that over here. Okay, we're good? Joe, how many times have you learned Bezot HaBracha?
Like, four.
Okay, that pasuk isn't resonant for you? Okay, Joe. That's it. Great. Akiva Gassi, make sure he lanes in Columbia this Simchas Torah, okay? Okay, yeah.
So aren't, when the rabbis wear the innovative hats, aren't usually the innovations rooted somewhere, in an interpretation of the Torah?
That's an interesting question. I know when they made up Hanukkah, is that rooted in the interpretation of Torah? Oh, you might be right. I'm just raising the question.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, we're good. Yes, John.
Is Tyler, candles 8, 7, 6, 5, and down, according to the Rambam, would I be doing anything wrong?
Okay, let's leave that for now. All right, David Brook, what do you want to say?
So the rabbis interpreting Doraita, isn't that still Torah Moshe Sinai?
Well, why do you assume every interpretation is like a tradition? Look, there are different ways of thinking about Torah Shebal Peh. One way is that we kind of had all the answers and kind of lost it as we went along and had to deal with that. And the other way is, no, we had like a basis and then... So I am more of a part of these. It's my My theology is more like the second approach, that God left a lot more room for humans to interpret. Not that we had all the answers to start. Okay? But if you want to go the other approach, okay, immediately. Okay? All right, so let's try to solve the problem. Okay? We've got one possibility to try to solve it for Ramban, another possibility to try to solve it for Ramban. We're going to see one solution for Ramban and two solutions for Ramban. Okay, so let's start with the solution for Ramban. Okay, Rav Chanan Wasserman was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Some of you may know, I call him the clearest writer of the Briskers. If you like Brisker Torah and you actually want to understand the pieces pretty easily, he's the clearest writer. And he also, unfortunately, was killed by the Nazis. He has his discussion of rabbinic authority. Okay, David, are you reading Orchot Tzadikim?
I was, yeah.
Okay, you know what's great, guys, about being a Mussernik? You could think like it's a firm thing to read Musser during your Kali. It's just great. Okay. 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 Here we go. Okay, source 3. It's like he's so from me, he stopped in my chumash. He just reads Orchot Tzadikim all day. Okay, here we go. Nir Medivir Ramban. Okay, what does it say in the Ramban? The Ramban must say there's no deraita at all. Why? Here's J.J. Kant, exactly your point. Let's say the Ramban says it can't be lotasur, it's some other source. It's some other pasuk or some other svara. So J.J., what's the problem he raises? Whatever the other pasuk or the svara is, you are once again making the Drabanan into the right. This doesn't help. Oh, well, Tusher's not the source, something else is the source. But you're kind of stuck in the dilemma either way. Okay, so now he goes back to the Ramban. And he wants to claim that really the Lotusher is only addressing the interpretation of the rabbis and not the innovations of the rabbis. But let's see what he goes to Tedvav, right after no Tedvav. The Tame Gdolu Marking. Dimkei me'ez atam anu chayim l'shmola. And as Simon Ganel said, why do we have to listen to the rabbis? V'shelo lavol devrem achrei en lanu shum tzivi b'torah zeh. Lo mikra v'lo melacha v'lo mesvar. De'im no ma'sha svar no tenen hadar havelei deraita. K'tamim b'chol duchtei halam li kwa svaru. Al mesvar kwa chadinu. Okay, Yud Zayin, here we go. Yesh lamar duha din b'chol mitzvi srim devrem. Heskima datan l'dar hamako. Now, I admit this is very difficult for me. You have to have great faith in rabbis to say this. Okay, I admit I like rabbis, but I'm not sure I have this kind of great faith in them. Okay, what does the Bachanan say? What do we assume? If the rabbis come with an idea, they're probably in line with the will of God. Okay, that's what we like to say. If the rabbis say we shouldn't eat chicken and milk, what's our assumption? God would like that. God would like us to not eat chicken and milk. But what's the crucial point here, though, guys? It's an assumption. It is not a command. So therefore, what does he, what Bachanan, want to say? Why should we refrain from chicken and milk? Because we're pretty confident that that is a film of Ratzon Hashem. Why is there not make it a deraita? Because at the end of the day, it's still not commanded. Have you got that? So if you're willing to have that kind of faith in rabbinic ingenuity and rabbinic efforts, you could go with Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan was to say, we are convinced that rabbis are doing a really good job. We think God probably is in favor of their innovations, so therefore we're going to keep them. But at the end of the day, if there's no official directive, it has not become a deraita. Yeah?
That's not even a mitzvah derabbanan even. He's just saying, like, it's like a mid-hug that we keep
Darabon on. Look, he would say, I'll give you an analogy to this. Okay, what would be an analogy? Let's do an ethical analogy because we like ethics here. Right? Okay, let's say I could do something that is technically not asur, but is somehow really ethically problematic. Okay, wouldn't most of the room feel, as it were, obligated not to do it? Yeah. Right? So you could feel obligated by something, even though it's not official command, right? So I would say Rabbi Chanan views all the Rabbanans like that. Right? Okay? It's a pretty innovative idea. Yeah?
Does this make sense with Rabban's view on Nahal Bishuta Torah as actually being a Doraita? Because so according to him, it should be not a Daf and not Doraita. The entire point is that it comes from a Drabanan source. But there he seems to say that it's a Doraita instruction to do what you...
No, it's actually a great point for Rabbi Chanan, Max. That was really clever. Now you might say, what is a pillar of Rabban's view? That there are important Jewish values outside of strict halakha. In some ways, I never made that connection before. That's a great connection, Max.
I was using the opposite. I'm trying to
I understand. I'm allowed to think differently. Do you see what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
Can I just clarify what Max just said? It was actually quite brilliant. Okay, the Ramban has three places in Chumash. We insist that halakha is not enough. You have to go beyond halakha. Okay, the most famous one is Kedoshim to you. According to Ramban, what does Kedoshim to you teach you? Don't be a Naval B'Shiva Torah. What's his example of being a Naval B'Shiva Torah? Yeah, you could spend all day, you know, it's very possible to be an Orthodox Jewish hedonist. That is not a contradiction in the slightest. Right? Just go to any Pesach program. Right? You could, okay. Right? I always love it. Can I make fun of Pesach programs for a second? Okay, don't be insulted. Okay, I always love the fact that there's a barbecue between lunch and dinner. Like, why do you need a barbecue at 4 in the afternoon? Like, somehow, like, lunch was not sufficient, even though you went to the buffet, like, 8 times. Right? And you might not make it to 6:30, so you might have a barbecue at 4. Okay. But in any case, you could be an Orthodox Jewish hedonist. Right? Just spend all your time eating meat and drinking wine and being with your wife. And none of that's usher. So what's the big deal? He says, no, that's why you have a pasuk that says, Kedoshim to you. He says the same thing about a pasuk called Vasita Hayashar Vahatov. Why does the Torah say Asita Yashar V'Hatov? Because you could ethically kind of keep within the parameters of the law, technically, but do the wrong thing all the time in Ben Amelchavero. So it says just be a good guy. Asita Yashar V'Hatov. Thirdly, he says even about Shabbatot. What does Shabbatot teach you, according to Ramban? You could technically keep Shabbos in Yom Tov, but there's nothing really Shabbos-tick about your Shabbos. Right? You're, you know, spend the whole time, you know, discussing business and the like, and that's all you do. There's nothing Shabbos-tick about it. So the Ramban has this constant theme throughout Chumash. It's not enough, this letter of the law. There's this spirit of the law that's manifested in Kedoshim to you, Asiti HaShabbatov, and Shabbatov. So I would say, Max, this is the Ramban Bochan would fit nicely. Right? That don't only think about it's technically commanded. Try to fulfill other kinds of things also. Yeah. Okay, yeah, who else had a hand? Yeah, Josh.
Gezerah, or something by the rabbis, that's on Gezerah for a certain mitzvah, but it doesn't seem directly related to the mitzvah at hand. Like, it's sort of like an extrapolation they get from the mitzvah.
Okay.
Would that count under Lo Taaseh?
I mean, according to Ramban?
According to Rambam.
Well, according to Rambam, every Rabbanan is including Lo Taaseh. Maybe that was the problem for Rambam.
A Rabbanan that's made...
The Rambam says it across the board, whether it's interpretation hat or rabbinic innovation hat or gzerot, all the rabbanans are covered by Lo Taaseh.
It says under the mitzvah, because with the mitzvah of don't kill, therefore we don't do this. Would that count under Lo Taaseh also? Or would that be under...
Meaning if I apply this like Ramban about values, is that part of Lo Taaseh? Is that your question?
No, I'm sorry. I'm Rambam. I'm a little behind.
I'm still like...
If Rambam thinks that every mitzvah is Lo...
Every rabbinic mitzvah is Lo Taaseh.
So even if it's not a mitzvah, more like a gezerah that's made on...
Gezerah is a rabbinic enactment.
So if it's a gezerah made on, under another, because of another mitzvah, not...
Why should that be lesser? Why should that be any less, according to Rambam?
No, I'm saying, does that count under a low test?
Why not?
Because it was made under another...
You should categorize under Lo Tirtzach and on... Your question is like, is muktzah about Shabbos or about Lo Taaseh? Is that your question?
Or is it about both?
Right, I'll leave it be for now. Yeah, John.
Did you say that Lo Taaseh is more of a source? I mean, this is more of a critique on Rambam. It doesn't mean that all Rabbanan, all the Rabbanan are part of Lo Taaseh, which makes them all the right, but more that it's more of a divine source that says that the rabbis have this ability, and then based on the sort of Lo Hashemayim that we trust in, that we trust in the rabbis, and the rabbis have the society. It's more like a
father. Okay, so wait till the Meshech Chachma, okay? All right, guys, now we're going to go for two solutions for Rambam. It's going to be 5 minutes for each one. Perfect time. Okay, just you should know the Sefer. It's a very good Sefer. Those who like Lumdus. Okay, where's Gavi Kolarov? Okay, he is a famous writer named Aryeh Leib Heller, who wrote a Sefer on Choshen Mishpat called the Ketzod HaChoshen. The Ketzod HaChoshen is a particularly impressive work on Choshen Mishpat. In fact, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz from the Mir said, if there are four, if you don't know four ketosas, you're not ma'aretz. So there's, so far in my life, there's two students who wanted to know those four ketosas. One of them, I wrote him a little certificate that he's not on ma'aretz. Okay, so if any of you learns the four ketosas and shows that you know them, no, Lewis, I didn't give him the test yet. Okay, Lewis is a very serious guy, because even though I know Lewis learned all four, he doesn't want me to write him a certificate until I give him a test. He's waiting for me to write him a bechina on the four ketosas. But he will be the second student to receive that certificate that he's no longer on ma'aretz. Okay? So he also wrote a different sefer called the Sheif Shmata. Okay, Sheikh Shmaitza, if you want to talk Yeshivish. See, there he discusses a lot of halachic issues, such as the first piece is about Safak Taraisa L'chumra. So that's what he says here. It's an amazing piece. Let's look at the Rambam first. Okay, source 4, and then we'll see what the Rabbi Aryeh Leib writes in the Sheikh Shmaitza. Says the Rambam, Dover Yadua Shekol Eilu HaTumot B'Kiyot V'Nchein Nusum Safak. Anytime you make something tame because of a Safak, Hariyin Shil Divrayin. It is Dirabanan. V'ein tamei min haTorah ela mi shenitma tumat vaday. Who's really biblically tamei?
Me.
Only in the case of? Yeah, but what's the case? Vaday, only when you are sure of a kol hasfekot. Anytime you're not sure. No, he makes it very wide sweeping here. Ben b'tumot, ben b'machalot asrot, ben b'ariot b'shabbatot, ein lam el midivrei sofrim. This is a wild Rambam. What is the Rambam just told me, guys? That the principle, you're going to love this, guys. If you like this, you're good. If you don't like this, I think Gemara's over for you. You just go learn Machshava. Okay? The principle of Suffolk deraita l'chumra itself is a derabbanan principle. Does everyone understand what just happened? Okay. Biblically, you only have to be careful about vadai asur. The biblical law is you could be lenient about safek asur. And the rabbis were nervous about that. So the rabbi said, we don't think you should do it if it's safek asur. So that means that the principle of safek deraita l'chumra is itself a derabbanan. Pretty remarkable, right? Yes, Simon.
Wouldn't that mean retroactively it's a deraita because part of the asur?
Ah, except for... Okay, the following. Okay, now... What if I go... So again, this doesn't solve anything if you don't like Rambam. But what if you go with the... Okay, one second. Okay, let's go to the end of the Sheikh Shmaya, the last three lines. Let me just think one second, the best way to say this. Okay. He wants to say as follows, that this could help you explain according to Rambam. Okay, all right, I'm going to do too much here. It's going to be confusing. That was an educational error. All right, I'm going to sneak it in anyway. Okay. He thinks that, what was our one solution for Rambam so far that the Ramban himself suggested? What did the Ramban suggest for his opponent, the Rambam? Nope, that was the Ramban himself. The built-in clause theory, right? The rabbis built all those leniencies into the framework. Okay, he thinks, it's not obvious why, he thinks that works if I have a suffix about the reality. I'm not sure the piece of meat in front of me what it is. But it wouldn't work if there's a machloket. If there's a machloket, he says, one person thinks it's certainly usher, and one person thinks it's certainly mutter. So why would we make over there if it's a drabbanan? He doesn't think the built-in clause theory covers that case. Now, I admit, someone could quibble with that. The same way the built-in clause theory could deal with a suffix, the built-in clause theory could deal with... could deal with a machloket. But he doesn't think so. He says, well, so why am I making a machloket? So he wants to claim, let's look at the last four lines. See what says, V'lchein mukhrach, shita Rambam? Okay, V'lchein mukhrach, shita Rambam. To call us sveikul midivreya. All sabik is only the rabbanim. Avol min haTorah, call us sveikul mutar. Mishum haki kin istapek im asru cham bazeh. If I'm not sure if the rabbinic thing applies, go machloket midivrei sofim. Lek alo tazer. Kim the suffik min haTorah sharya umidrabanan lo gazu besveikot ella b'deraita dafka. What is he claiming? When the rabbanan, okay, I'll say it this way. Okay, I probably confusing you. But if suffik deraita l'chumra is only a rabbinic creation, will that create more flexibility in that or less flexibility?
More
flexibility. So what do you want to say? When the rabbis made up the rule suffik deraita l'chumra, what did they leave out? They did not apply that to. Machloket or all drabbanans, right? See, now even though drabbanans are deraita, that's okay because it was their decision to make suffik deraita. You guys understand? So this is—it's now easier. Let me do it one more time. Okay, it's now easier to explain why suffik drabbanan l'kula, because even if a drabbanan is deraita, the very din of suffik deraita l'chumra was itself a rabbinic creation. So the rabbis could decide we're going to apply our suffik deraita l'chumra to things that started as deraitas. Things that we made into deraitas, we're not going to apply it. So that would be another solution to the suffik conundrum. Okay, I said that was bad, very bad pedagogy, but I think we got through it. Okay, so in any we have so far for Rambam, we have one possibility is that it's a built-in clause. The Sheikh Shmaitzer wants to say, since suffik deraita l'chumra is itself a rabbinic innovation, it's easier to say it applies here and doesn't apply there. Okay. Wait, why is it circular?
Because the only reason you're interpreting
the pasuk of Lota sort of mean that the rabbis have authority, and the rabbis are the people that are interpreting it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But can I say there's not going to be a happy game? Any ethical here in the world is going to have the same circularity.
No, exactly. So that's if you go according to the Rambam, in which case you kind of have to trust, like that there is like some level where you kind of have to trust that you're in the normal halakha, then it's fine. Because you're breaking the circle.
Okay, but that's a much larger philosophical question I want to answer at 12:56. Yeah.
How do we like understand it, I guess, in terms of the Rambam, where there are some Rebbeim who say you only can eat that meat, or can only eat, like, how do you, if everything that Rebbeim say are Bishud Yeraisa, then what is the range of, you have one posek and another posek?
Look, there's a separate question, how am I supposed to navigate Machloka?
Okay.
But I think that's a question no matter what. I mean, okay, well, let's figure out how we navigate Machloka. And by the way, could some people think Lo Tuster only applies when there's a Beit in Hagadol? Right, it could be when you have Beit HaGadol that can become a definitive solution, and post Beit HaGadol is a question, how will it answer advice? Right, guys, I'm sorry if you have questions. This is only 4 minutes left. Let me speak in the Meshach Chacham, because really the best idea of the day. Okay, Rav Meir Simcha Kohen from Dvinz is going to try to give you a solution for Rambam. Okay, go to fifth line, Ba'ikar Hazeh. Here you go, guys. Ba'ikar Hazeh is explaining Rambam. Ki HaTorah Tzta Asher Mevad Inyanim HaNitzchiyim, beyond the Inyanim Nitzchiyim, things that are Nitzchi, eternal, like Kerem Elad, like Duraita, Yitzchadish in your name. What else do we need? Innovations, right? History changes, new things come up. So the rabbi should innovate. Siyagim, Azarot, Vchumot, Asheyus, Maniim. But what's true about the second things?
Temporary.
They, in theory, could be temporary. Hainu, Shia, Biyar, Chacham, Elohosev, Abdik, Yidrom, Anim, Sarlem, Vim, Yom, Od, Beit, and Acher, Gadol, Bechacham, Ov, Vimian, Ubeheskim, Klai, Yisrael, Kfiak, Derim, Sheish, Bezeh, Harashut, Biyadam, Levatel. What's the difference between the two of them? Now, obviously, we don't do this. Halakha has become a little frozen. But later Beitin can't overturn a Doraita, but a later Beitin could overturn a Drabanan. Okay, so we have certain needs that are eternal, not needs that are temporary. Okay, now he goes on to say, Uluman Shalim to Ishakad Lamar and Yero Evan, any Kafuk Hakame Israel. Nana Torah Gedi Lotosur. Why do we need Lotosur? Shimlo Kenya Torah Misur Biad Kalachad, the Yasu Agudoda Gudoda. What's the problem? I always point this out in my more philosophical share about authority. Right? What if we didn't have Lotosser? What would you have?
Anarchy.
Right? A friend of mine, Rabbi Aryeh Klapper, used to always ask his share this. He said, okay, you don't like rabbinic authority. Give us a better system for how halacha should be worked out. Like, what would you suggest instead? Right? You need some kind of system of trying to arrive at decisions so that it's not a free-for-all. Right? No group, no social group or religion could be a free-for-all. So you need rabbinic authority. Okay, but therefore, if that's really true, skip down now to HaMitzvah, a couple lines. HaMitzvah dafka l'shmoa mash yomru. So what's the mitzvah to? So there shouldn't be anarchy. Aval enyan batzmo shamru v'chitcho. But the thing they innovated, efshir de'enu b'kabel ritzon abarei. What's the possibility? See, something amazing. It's almost the opposite of Rabbi Chanan's intuition. What things you need to write to the Rabbanan? When I have a derived mitzvah, what am I convinced? This is a truth and a goodness about the fabric of the cosmos. It is a better world if we don't eat meat and milk, basar b'chalav, cooked together. When the rabbanim make an innovation about chicken and milk, why do I have to listen to them? So that Jewish communal life not become anarchic. But I'm not 100% convinced that Hashem is against chicken and milk, right? It's more about the authority and the need for unity than about the item per se. Okay, that's the difference between the right to the rabbanim. He gives a great analogy. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to listen to kings. Why are you supposed to listen to kings? Is that because we're convinced that kings are in touch with Ratzon Hashem? No, why are you supposed to listen to kings? That's it, we're not in favor of anarchy. Right? You need some kind of governmental structure for decisions to be made. So he would like to portray rabbinic authority in that light. Right? You need some kind of authority-making system for the society to function. But we're not convinced, we don't know for sure. That's right. Why does this matter? See, something very interesting. What would happen, and then I'll take the last questions. What would happen if I have a suffix about something? If I have a suffix about a doraita, what might be your reaction at that point? Why would I not want to do it? Because I'm possibly, as it were, violating the goodness of the cosmos, right? The fabric of reality, right? By violating the doraita. So therefore, I have to be suffix l'chumra. In a derabanan, what's the key thing I'm trying to avoid? Challenging their authority. So what could I say? If I bivata, I go against the chachamim, that's challenging their authority. Once it's a suffix, you could argue, I'm not really challenging their authority. That's why even if every derabanan is a deraita, That's why we could still say Safek Derabanan Lakula. Let me just do a brief summary and take the last two comments. Okay, guys, I'm sorry I'll be a little late, but just 2 more minutes. Okay, what do we have here? We have the famous two problems, right? If you go with Rambam, Lotusser is all-encompassing. What's the problem? Every Derabanan should be the same as Derayta. If I go with Ramban, Lotusser is only the interpretation at. So how do we, why do we have to listen to Gzerot and Takana? Great. How do we try to solve the Ramban? We're not listening because the Torah directive. We're listening because we have faith in the rabbis as adhering to the will of God. Since we have faith, we feel we have to do it. And as Max pointed out, it's other Rambans about values beyond strict halacha. Great, let's go back to Rambam. If the Rambam's right, why the difference is such as Safik Derayta L'Chumra, Safik Derabanan L'Kula? We now have 3 answers. What did Ramban himself suggest for the Rambam? It's a built-in clause. How did the Sheikh Shmaitzer want to say it? If Safik Derayta L'Chumra is itself Derabanan, therefore the Rabban could differentiate between Derayta and Derabanan. Finally, we have my favorite answer. What did the Meshech Chachma want to say? You have to understand the difference. We view Derayta as being correct in some deeply metaphysical fashion. We're not convinced that that's true about Derabanan. But we know there's a need for authority. But that shifts all perspective. Suffolk Derayta about the fabric of the cosmos, we're not going to take a chance. But a Suffolk Derabanan, which is just about authority, we could say this is not really undermining rabbinic authority. Okay, last 2 comments. All right.
So doesn't Tavar Shal Afnai kind of, give a good example for Meshech Chachma of why we go after the Rabbi?
Oh, that's a great point. Very good. Right, Tana Shachnai, our favorite Gemara, Joe Schnitzer, right? Camper my every summer, right? 3 times a summer. He just can't beat it. Okay, so that fits very nicely with the Meshech Chachma. It's not about metaphysical right or wrong. It's about the need for there to be some kind of authority structure. Yeah, David.
For the Shapeshifter, he talks about how something
there is a
could be a Derabanan Institute that
may
solve the problem.
You mean the
Let me solve the problem of. You know, the distinction between a Derabanan and a Derayta in that specific regard, but that's only one example.
Okay, very good. David's right, because absolutely right. Okay, see? The Greek freak has not lost it. Okay? He's right. That only deal, the Shave Smite's a very limited answer. It's only about Suffolk. All the other differences in Derayta and Derabanan are not solved by that. That's a very good point. Okay, anybody else? All right, yeah, Jacob, John, last comment.
When Gabe asked this question about, like, how this could maybe be a circular dimension, at some point about, like, how that's needed in, like, any system.
Right, meaning, I just want to point out with you guys, this is really not for us right now, but just a little food for thought. Something we ask very challenging questions of our religion, which is perfectly legitimate. Just realize the same challenging question can be applied to anything. Meaning, if you try to defend, like, why you have to listen to your government or things like that, you're going to end up in the same place. Okay? So that's not for us right now. All right, everybody have a great Shabbos here. Okay, Ashrei, Yoshrei, Veitecha, Ha'od Yehavim, Lufa, Sehara, Nainan, Yehavim,